University.
Hello, you're listening to Extra Extra, URN's comedy news show, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the news of the week. I'm Elo Drinska. I'm joined, as ever, by Abby Houseman.
Hello.
Now, some of you may be thinking, hey, I heard these girls on my listening device earlier this week. They mentioned that it was the last show of the year.
We did indeed.
And indeed, it was. This, however, is not really Extra Extra,
no.
Despite the intro that I literally just gave, which Abby told me not to give, but I gave anyway because I don't know how to introduce a show other than that.
Okay.
No, actually, this isn't really a new show, but it is. Ooh. This isn't really Extra Extra, but it is. This is the best of Extra Extra. We're going to be going through some bloopers, some bits that we'd recorded and not put out before. This is Extra Extra, colon, Extra!
Because it's more of the thing.
Thanks, Abby. I feel
it's
like
extra, guys.
Yeah. I feel like that kind of like undermined the joke. Yeah. Thanks, Abby. Really pleased you're here.
You're welcome.
Yes. Basically, what we're going to be doing today is running through just a few of the stories that we've recorded. Some of the news things that came up that we thought, oh, that's interesting. We recorded, but then there wasn't time to fit into the show.
Just so much news, guys.
There's so much news.
So
it's
much
a bit
going
annoying,
on.
Really, isn't it?
It's so annoying. Especially, I have put out a plea many a time, do not create news on a Tuesday or a Monday. It won't go in the show. And really, that's the only point of news, isn't it? To get an extra extra. You're looking at me like...
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think of the mathematics of this.
Of, like, the peak time.
Well, no, not even that. It's just because we've got news stories that we're playing tonight.
Yes.
That were within the window of news, as you like to call it.
Yeah.
That made it onto Extra Extra, but then we're not heard on Extra Extra because there were so many other news stories.
The hidden content, guys.
So actually, maybe it'd be more useful if more things happened, not in the window of news.
Everything. Throw everything at us.
As you can probably tell, this show is going to be very much in the vein of normal Extra Extra, whereby there's a very brief bit of intelligent stuff, which usually comes from Abby, but I feel like I'm winning so far today.
Yeah.
And then it just descends into madness.
I've done 8 hours of work today. I'm very tired. And so this is the level that you're going to get. I do apologise. I also don't have any notes. I don't have my laptop with me.
So We've swapped entirely.
Excellent. You can tell me what's going on. No idea.
I mean, like the idea of you now like trying to do the introduction just to like embody me again.
I'm making puns and then Googling people to go... So their children are called.
Yes, as far as I'm aware, there's not going to be any Ella Googles tonight.
Which is a favourite of ours.
Yes, a segment we only named in the last week. I'm not very intelligently Ella Googles because Ella is Googling.
It may come back next year. Who knows?
Who knows? You'll have to Google.
or listen next year.
Well, that too. Right, so we're going to start with our first story. Of this episode. So this first story came from episode 14, which was released a week or so ago on the 13th of June. And this is the news that the editor of the Daily Mail was stepping down. On the topic of jobs changing round, you tell me, because I don't know any news, that the editor of the Daily Mail has resigned.
He hasn't resigned. He's actually stepping down.
Is that not resigning?
I don't know. Resigning makes it sound like there's a scandal, I feel.
No, if a teacher reaches the age of like 65 and decides to resign from education,
they retire.
Retire.
Oh
okay.
My God, woman. Different things.
Okay, I'm just going to pause that there.
You're really clever. And, like, I know that you know the words, and yet it took quite a while to get there.
That, like, wasn't even a joke. I feel like a lot of the things I put across on this show, it's, like, kind of
exaggerated.
Yeah, it's, like, you know, not knowing that the boat in the Windrush scandal was called the Windrush. Ha, ha, ha. Hilarious.
That was genuine,
That was just me, like, I have forgotten.
I can see why your brain was like, yeah, no, that's what that means. But
so
yeah,
stupid.
It's like, no.
It's when I'm like trying to justify it and I sound like so vehement and adamant about it. And I'm like, no, if a teacher retires, it's that moment of realisation.
Yeah. Which you don't get to see at home, but it's a wonderful moment of like the face like lighting up going, no, hang on, Hang on, we might not be right here, guys.
It wasn't the finest moment. Let's continue.
Different things.
Okay, so let's pretend I didn't forget the word retire there.
Okay.
Do that again. So apparently he's retiring.
Do you want to do it in that voice?
Yes.
Okay. He is retiring.
This I know
is Paul,
things.
Paul Dacre, who has been the editor of the Daily Mail for 26 years. He's going to step down in November. Until November, there's going to be sort of a transition period of the Daily Mail. Until
where it becomes less right-wing.
good one.
before Jordi Greig will take over. It took me too long while like looking at this that they weren't just pointing out he's from the northeast. No, but that is his name.
That's how they pronounce Greg up there.
Greg. He's currently
you got a Greek sausage roll. Sorry,
he's currently the editor of the Mail.
Do you want us to go back to making summit jokes? Is that better?
He's currently the editor of the Mail on Sunday. He's been the editor since 2012, and kind of basically they're all leapfrogging around. So the deputy editor of the Mail at this point will then become the editor of the Mail on Sunday, and Geordie will take over the Daily Mail proper. It's been interesting because he's Eton educated. He's been the former editor of the Society magazine Tatler and the Evening Standard until 2009. And then he came and took over the Mail on Sunday. But it's interesting because he, although the Daily Mail famously quite right-wing, quite pro-Brexit, on that side of things, the Mail on Sunday has took a more Remain stance during Brexit. And so people are wondering whether or not this will translate into the Mail becoming, like, having a softer stance, moving more towards the centre. However, people have pointed out, don't get your hopes up.
Yeah. I think the fact that, what's his name,
Paul
Dacre had been there for so long.
He was really intense.
Yeah,
well,
it's going to just be in the kind of established structure of the paper now. Mm-hmm. That they're just gonna have to write horrible articles. But like, what do you think he's gonna do now? Now he's like, how's he gonna
retire on all that money?
But like, everything he's given, his view of the world is gonna be to take like a tiny thing, twist it against. Like,
he's gonna be horrible.
Everyone.
In the like village council. Isn't
the village council.
He's gonna take over. He's gonna sit there. And he's gonna.
He won't
be
able to stop. He'll be writing like his newsletter. He'll have to. Yeah, it'll be like about the suspicious youths in the
bush shelter.
In the bush shelter, and it's just like some students off to school in the morning. He's like, crime rates here have never been higher.
apparently, will have when he takes over. He'll have Greig will have three challenges as the new editor. He's got to keep the newspaper influential among politicians, ensure that it continues to make fun, make money in face of the declining circulation rate. Although the Daily Mail has done very well despite circulation dropping, it's still bringing in several hundred million. And he is going to have to step out of the shadow of a man who's apparently, according to sources, has ran it a bit like a tyrant. He was quite dictatorial.
You surprised me.
I know. Apparently,
the Daily Mail just seems like such a friendly, welcoming atmosphere.
Apparently, in his first couple of years, he used to scratch his back quite a bit when he was agitated. And so in the run-up to a print run, he would make himself bleed out. Like, you could tell it on his shirt. He made himself bleed. He was getting that wound up with it, which sounds insane. Surely someone would have looked at that and gone, maybe he might not be the man for the job. I don't think he has the right disposition.
I have various things to say to that, Abby.
Okay.
One, I think that sounds like a serious psychological condition and, you know, we shouldn't be making fun of it.
No.
Two, he could have covered that up by wearing a jacket, so... Whose fault is it really?
Yeah. I think, you know, he might have...
But mainly the, like, I'm sorry that he's stressed and, like, yeah. Anxiety. But also, like, he hates immigrants, so f*** him.
I'd forgotten it ended like that. Yeah. I remembered about 3 minutes through.
Oh, good. Good. Obviously, don't make fun of serious psychological conditions.
No. No. Definitely not. However... That being said, this particular man is not a particularly... he does not run a particularly nice newspaper.
Abby, I'm going to stop you there. Let's not say anything more on the issue. Any comments on that news story?
Well, one, I said the word horrible because my northern accent came through and I dropped all H's, apparently.
What you don't realise is that... Because obviously, like, you listen to this and you have to hear yourself sort of for the first time. Whereas I hear you as I edit
you. I hear
you
constantly.
And when you just say it there, you say chem rather than came. And it,
yeah.
Like...
Does it annoy you?
It doesn't annoy me.
But it's noticeable.
But it's there. It's the equivalent of the summit joke, which you did reference there.
You did.
Abby, would you like to explain to anyone who's not familiar with the summit special?
The summit special was about...
you look so annoyed already.
G7 summit. And throughout the entire episode, so these take quite a while to record, because, you know, we want to talk a lot about the news. And for, like an hour and a half, it was just Ella and Rebecca making summit puns as I tried to tell them the news so that they could comment on it in a satirical fashion. But no, I'm having flashbacks. It's
I mean, Abby, you should have said summit. We'd have stopped.
You. Those at home, I just pointed at Ella in a hey, how dare you fashion.
Yeah, we broke you that day.
Yeah, I was very tired that day. I think I was near the edge, and I got pushed royally over by the summit puns. Also, I don't. So I'm talking about Geordie Greig, and I call him Geordie for quite a lot because I wasn't entirely certain I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. So I'm not the fountain of all knowledge.
A little insight there into the behind the scenes
behind
of Extra
the scenes.
Extra. Another insight, the fact that I don't speak for a lot of that clip is because I'm Googling.
Yeah, Ella's sometimes doing things. It might be for extra research or something. Sometimes it's Shakira, as it was that one time when Ella wanted really badly to play Shakira.
I did just mention Shakira a lot in it.
You did. And so, yeah.
I love Shakira.
She's great.
We've got some best of you and me respectively coming up. There was a point where there was at least three references to Shakira in my one. I don't think there's any left in there now, and I feel sad.
Well, we've got one in now.
Yes.
There we go.
You're welcome, Shakira. You've been waiting for that.
We're her publicity team, apparently. Yeah. We're her representatives here at URN.
There's been a whole load of, like, branding chat.
There has.
On Extra Show, more so than I thought there would ever be.
Yeah. We get very bogged down in the branding marketing issue.
Yes.
But, you know.
More from that later.
Oh.
For now, our next story comes from episode... I went very BBC there.
You do.
Our next story comes from episode 13, the week before, released on the 6th of June. And this, I feel bad, because this was a story I, like, specifically requested from you.
And they didn't,
and then didn't put it in.
A lot happened that week. And I feel like this is the right context to play it in somehow.
Yes. I'm just going to let the clip introduce itself. Enjoy. In our final story of the day, which Abby has entitled Celebrity Capers.
Indeed. At the request of our delightful producer.
This is the only news story I know anything about.
Well,
what does that tell you about me?
So it has been revealed that Michael McIntyre was involved in a hit and run.
It wasn't a hit and run.
Okay.
A hit and run. See,
hang on.
Right, okay,
take over. Go on. You do the story.
Thank you. It wasn't a hit and run. He was parked, having dropped his children off at school, apparently. And
allegedly.
Some...
Why are you so sceptical?
I'm not suggesting Michael McIntyre's having an affair.
That wasn't what I was suggesting either,
just in case he's listening. Michael McIntyre was parked in his car and some, I think, boys on a moped went past and they smashed the window and they stole his watch.
Yeah. And only his watch. What happened next will surprise you. Like, it sounds like such a BuzzFeed article.
So there's that, and we'll discuss it in more detail in just a few minutes.
The BBC article is
gold.
Cracking.
But the reason I am interested in this story is because last week the news broke that Benedict Cumberbatch had fought off some guys attacking a delivery driver. And I'm like...
Near Baker Street, of all places.
So I'm like... What if Benedict Cumberbatch is the celebrity vigilante we didn't know we needed?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the only reason Michael McIntyre has been robbed is because Benedict Cumberbatch wasn't there to save him.
Yeah.
Now there is your sitcom.
He was busy in another part of town.
Yeah. Saving Marty McCutcheon from being stabbed.
One, I love the fact that those were the two that you went for. Like, you have a wealth of celebrities, you have a wealth of activities, and that's the two that immediately spring to mind.
It was a rogue shout, I understand.
Apparently the driver, so Benedict Cumberbatch was with his wife Sophie Hunter. They were in an Uber going someplace, do not know. The driver apparently didn't realise who was in the back seat because he was just focused on trying to navigate London traffic.
As in, he knew there were people in the car.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what did you get here?
They passed, I think they were parked, there was some traffic, so they were stopped, and Benedict launches himself out of the car because he sees a guy being attacked by, I think it was about four men, this delivery driver. He goes over, the driver follows him because he also sees the incident happening. And then there was a moment, apparently, when both the driver and the attackers all realised who Benedict Cumberbatch was. The attackers ran off and the driver was just like, oh, that's nice.
What an anecdote to have. I was beat up by Benedict Cumberbatch when I tried to mug a delivery driver.
What was so important? What had the delivery man got that was so important it involved needing to mug him?
Yeah, like, they don't carry
Indian
money on them, do they?
Take
just,
away,
they
like,
carry food. Just,
he was actually an undercover delivery driver. And he had information on possible Ukrainian assassinations.
Ah, yes. There we go.
But the point is, so that happened last week. Yeah. And then this week, like today, we're recording this on Tuesday, the news broke that Michael McIntyre had been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so obsessed with the idea that, like, there's this celebrity crime wave that only Benedict Cumberbatch can save them from.
Some people have seen him in Sherlock and they were like, they've just revealed that there's going to be a Sherlock escape room in London. So maybe they're like, we're going to take this another step further. We're going to make this real life.
Maybe this is just all PR.
Oh, yeah, that's incredible marketing.
Yeah.
The timing was great.
Uh-huh. So let's go to the BBC article about Michael McIntyre because... If you haven't read this, Rebecca,
I haven't. No,
it's absolute gold.
The opening is very much just stating the facts. Took his watch, drove in a moped. Apparently, he was fine after the incident. Asked if they were concerned about the family safety. Miss McIntyre said no. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
I don't need to buff about statements.
You need to understand the use of quotations in this article because whoever's written it is genius.
So far, there's no injuries, but there's also been no arrests been made. I think they're probably going to try and get CCTV footage from the school or something to try and find out who perpetrated this.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they got some witnesses or some people who live close
by. Yeah, they're not witnesses, but they live in the area.
Oh, right,
to comment on this crime wave. One woman, who did not want to be named, said...
Her name's Sandra.
I've lived here for years, and normally the trouble is down the other end of the road towards Hampstead. She said Hampstead seemed to be increasingly targeted because it's a wealthy area.
That's where the ruffians go.
Yeah. She's like, it's not normally this far north. Like, that's the crux of the issue for her is, like, it's near her house now. Uh-huh. She's like, oh, no. Yeah. Another resident who's lived on the Leafy Road for 30 years. Very important, it's a Leafy Road.
They have to set the scene.
That's not the name of the road. It's literally just a very leafy
road. It's just a road with leaves.
They just don't have brushes, apparently, to sweep the pavement.
Oh, in my head, the leaves were still on a tree, Abby.
Okay, I was imagining...
Like a boulevard where you've got trees down the side. It's a nightmare if you go through them on an open top bus, I'm just saying. Yeah. I speak from considerable personal experience.
Which he does not want to talk about right now. He's put, I'm not worried because I don't wear a Rolex and don't drive around in a Range Rover.
Hashtag victim blaming.
That's an absolute rinse. The idea that those were the reasons why he was targeted was the fact that they were like, that those are the only two reasons you can ever be
guys
victim of a mugging.
I've just read down.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a gang on scooters, because part of the big news about this is that they're attacking on mopeds.
Mm-hmm.
A gang on scooters, because mopeds go so quickly.
Yeah.
That's the least dramatic exit. Like, oh, we've got Michael McIntyre's watch. Go, 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 go! What a getaway.
Uh-huh.
That was really good.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
that was a really good sound of
it. I found my talent.
Yeah.
That's going on the CV.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a gang on scooters armed with knives and hammers reportedly raided a jewellery store in Regent Street, brackets, where Martine McCutcheon was shopping at the time. That doesn't say that, but can you imagine if
that
I just predicted that?
But also, we're very suspicious.
It wasn't me. To quote
Shaggy. The idea that somehow the robbery of Michael McIntyre's watch and the robbery on a jewellery store, like, the only thing linking them is that there was a robbery. It's the only thing linking them so far.
And scooters.
Scooters, jewellery involved.
I mean, they haven't...
I don't think they're suggesting that they're the same people or that these people were in cahoots somehow.
For a start, the fact that they've said scooters doesn't necessarily mean scooter like a moped. I like to think it's a push scooter. It's
like, no! Oh, like a JD bug, you know?
Or the ones that, like, you see older people sometimes in. So the ones that...
I think it's funny if it's a bush scooter. Okay. It's like all balanced on one, like trying to go... Can you remember, like, riding a scooter as a child? How much your leg would hurt? Not the one that you were using to, like, push the scooter. The one you were standing
on.
The
one you had to, like, keep straight. Yeah.
Never felt pain like
it. I was a keen scooterer, and I remember those.
Have you sustained injuries for life?
My ankles will forever be damaged.
I can't balance on this leg anymore. Yeah. It's too traumatic. I just really, like, obviously I'm really sorry for Michael McIntyre.
He's fine, and so far...
As I was sure, there's a picture of the update of the article. Mr. McIntyre was seen comforting his son after the attack because it was near the school. And I'm not going to lie, it looks like he's put his child in a headlock. But I'm sure...
in a loving fashion.
You've got the Rolex, haven't you?
I'm sure we're going to... Smile for the cameras, Lucas. I know that his children are called Lucas and Oscar. That's beside the point.
He's stated in comedy specials. Yes. He's not just obsessed.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. I can do most of Michael McIntyre's, like, live sketches.
Everything okay, Ella?
I mean, at least he's got another bit out of this. Mm. Like, this is going to be... Like, somehow he will find the comedy gold in it.
If anyone's going to. It's that guy from Pompeii. I'm free! Gets hit by a door jam.
Yeah, that was ages ago.
Is it too soon? Is it too soon to make jokes about Pompeii?
No.
I feel that's very indicative of Extra Extra.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Anna? Any thoughts on that one?
I like the guy from Pompeii. I think he is worthy of a sitcom. If you haven't listened to that episode, we were chatting about the fact they discovered the remains of a guy that they thought had been killed... Because he was hit by a door jam.
Yeah, rather than from
the volcano.
Yeah.
And I found it really funny. Not his death. I should preface that.
But
not
the idea.
The idea that in the sitcom of Pompeii, if you will.
Ripe for comedy gold.
Of course. There'd be a background character. In my head, it's an old man, because I think that's funnier. I don't know what they're meant to be. Let's move on. I think it would be funny if there was this, like, character who, in every episode, the main character sort of did something to annoy. So his life was just getting, like, gradually, like, made worse by the main character, to the point at which he was, in the penultimate episode, he injures his leg, because you said that was part of the news story. And then in the final episode, when the volcano erupts, he can't escape properly because he's got an injured leg, and then he gets hit by a door jam. Saying it like that, it's not as funny.
I think there is some physical comedy in it. I don't think that's it, but...
I will take that.
We'll get there.
Why Martin McCutcheon?
I don't know. That entire bit... I stand by my comments of... What?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought about Martin McCutcheon in ages.
No. Yeah. You know when you listen back to things that you've said? You're like, why? Why? Why would I phrase it like that? I feel like that a lot with Extra Extra. I'm like, I could have said that better.
I feel like that a lot when I just speak. I will say, however, the one thing I don't regret, that moped impression.
That was great.
Thank you. I didn't realise I was that good.
It's when you realise it in the thing. And you're like, hang on a second. Oh, this is very good. It's going on the CV.
CV. Touching my toes. Moped impression. Forget, like, the degree, the masters, the fact that I can, like, edit relatively well. No.
Those two
moped
qualities.
Impressions.
Right at the top.
I'm never going to be able to do it again. No. There's a part of me that really wants to reenact it, but I know it would never be as good as that.
No.
So we're going to move on to our next story, which comes from episode 3.
Oh, going back in
February
time.
February time. This was released on the 21st of February. It was the week before all the awful snow.
Okay.
Do you remember when we had that episode 4 back. Was when, like, we had the really bad snow and we had to record from our kitchen?
Yes.
This isn't that.
No. Which was, but
this is decent quality audio.
If you want to listen back to episode 4, we get a special guest appearance for our housemate.
Yeah, so he complains he has a cold and makes a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that. That doesn't really sell it very well.
Not really.
He arrives on a jetpack and saves Martin McCutcheon.
Done. Excellent.
There you go. I saved it, Abby. I saved it. No, this comes from episode 3. And all I'm going to say is that I've entitled this clip Thumbs Up. Who's been struggling to give a thumbs up this week?
This is the terracotta figure that was on loan to a US museum. And someone has stolen his thumbs after taking a selfie with the figures. And China is not happy, quite understandably, about this. They have demanded severe punishment for a man who allegedly stole the thumb of a terracotta warrior statue on display in the US. The statues are 2,000 years old and it's worth $4.5 million, which is roughly £3.2 million. It is uncertain whether or not China is going to demand the full $4.5 million or just like just a what thumb worth.
But what percentage of a body is a thumb?
Well, it depends on how big the figures are, I guess.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, the thumb is to scale.
How much would you demand for a thumb? Like, not if someone stole your thumbs.
Yeah, but it's like... Okay, well, for a start, if someone stole my thumbs, good luck to them. I've got peculiarly big thumbs.
You know they were your thumbs.
I'm not saying my thumbs are as big or maybe heavy as or difficult to steal as a terracotta statue's thumbs. But I do think I would put up more of a fight than a terracotta statue. And they're very distinctive thumbs.
You'd be able to tell them in a lineup. People like, those are my thumbs. And that is the guy that stole them, because...
What was the question you asked?
How much would you demand for your thumbs?
Well...
Or how much would you want back for these thumbs?
They're 2,000-year-old thumbs.
Yeah. Like 3.2 million.
At least 100,000.
Yeah, I was going to say 100,000. That's like the very exact figure. 1,000.
I mean, it's not. If I said $100,072.68, that's a very exact figure. $100,000, I'd say, is a ballpark.
Fairly round figure.
But I also, like, I don't understand how this guy stole a thumb. Like, it's stone. Did he walk in like a
with
chisel?
A chisel. Possibly. Maybe he's just very into pottery and he just carries around equipment with him. Just in case.
Just an emergency wheel in case he needs to reenact the scene from Ghost or something. You never know what's going to happen.
You don't when you're...
I go around with an umbrella, with a glasses case, with hand sanitizer, plasters and hay fever tablets. Some people, I'm not one of them, may go around with pottery material. Walks out of a cupboard with a kiln, just in case.
Oh, well, I think he managed to smuggle something in because he was attending an ugly sweater party at the Institute.
What?
Therefore distracting people.
This story just gets weirder and weirder.
Yes. Okay, I've scrolled down a bit more now.
Oh, so you know more of the story. Yeah. You're happy to comment more.
So do you want to know how he actually stole it?
Yeah. Yes, I think very much that is the question I have been asking since the beginning of this. Thank you, Abby, for listening to me.
So, went to an ugly sweater party, not competition, although there definitely should have been a competition element in it, at the Franklin Institute Museum in Philadelphia. Took a selfie, one of the terracotta portraits, used his phone as a torch, and then basically snapped off a thumb with his bare hands, which either means they are 2,000 years old, might be very weak, or he's really strong, in which case, good on him. Also not. Do not destroy ancient artifacts, people.
Yeah, please don't say good on him to the guy who just stole a 2,000-year-old thumb.
It's not an actual thumb.
I was about to say... No, I know it's not an actual thumb, Abby.
It's just the way that you said that made it sound like he'd, like, stolen someone's thumb.
There are 8,000 soldiers in the terracotta army.
And now one of them is thumbless.
No, he only has one thumb. There are 8,000 soldiers in the terracotta army. That is only 16,000 thumbs.
Now 15,999.
Let's not encourage the guy who stole a thumb.
No.
Extra Extra does not endorse such behaviour.
No, definitely not.
We will set our time travelling potential friends on you. We will have in the past, but in the future do that.
Oh dear. The timeline of this episode has gone very wonky.
Do we need to say anything more about this?
Desk, which...
Wait, what?
That's where he was.
But put it, Abby, go back on mic.
He was reportedly hiding at a desk. The FBI went after him, and they traced it back to him fairly obviously. Because guess what?
museums have cameras, like CCTV.
This has just turned into an episode of White Collar now.
And yeah, so he broke it off, took it back home with him, put it in his desk drawer, and yeah, so he wasn't even going to display it. He wasn't even going to use it as like a cool story or something, because he thinks stealing things is fun. Bad person. No, just kept it in a drawer.
I'm going to stop Abby from talking about theft anymore, because I feel like she's getting closer and closer to being like, yeah, you know what?
Sometimes
everyone do it.
Sometimes you just gotta just see if it's possible. Yeah, so he kept it in a desk drawer, and now China is demanding severe punishment for this crime.
I wonder why, when they only have 15,999 thumbs left. Yeah.
And I think I don't think they've asked for their statues back immediately, but I think that's probably going to be what they're going
to
be.
10 over to America. Yeah. So the other 7,990. Yeah,
that's safely ensconced.
Thumbs protected.
they're all wearing gloves now. Just so they know.
Mittens.
See, that would draw attention to their thumbs.
I mean, I've just looked at a picture of them. I'm not sure you could put. You would have to go mittens, because they're not like.
Not very malleable.
Separate. Weird word, malleable, isn't it?
It's a good word, though.
I didn't say it wasn't.
I think that sums up early extra extra. Like, wow.
Maybe he's very into pottery. Genuine quote from Abby Houseman.
Yeah, I stand by it, because maybe he was.
Do you stand by the quote that you made while we were listening to that, which is when you'd said, good on him, and I started backtracking on your behalf, and you, here in the studio, right here, right now, went... Yeah. It's just really impressive.
I mean...
Don't encourage theft, Abby!
I'm trying not to.
You're not trying very
it's
hard.
It's not good. I think I... with the Michael McIntyre story, I think I you know, helped my position by saying, that was bad as well. Please don't steal
I
things.
I feel like there must
real
have been
bad.
A transition point.
Yeah.
Where we swapped roles.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like in the early days, I was still very much, like, in control of the show.
We introduced Rebecca and you became a child because you were like, I have a friend now. And I suddenly have to be the sensible one. And I can't talk about
I
pottery.
I would say that it probably happened earlier
thumbs.
Than Rebecca joining the show. But yes, I understand your point.
Also,
I feel like you're very angry still about the summit thing.
I want to point out the question you weren't asking. You said the question I was asking the entire time was, you know, about the thumb.
How did he steal it?
No. The very first question was,
what percentage of a body is a thumb?
Which we still haven't answered, really. Also, I don't have any updates on that. She's looking at her thumbs.
You didn't need to say that, Abby. You're really ruining my image.
Sorry. I don't have any updates on this story. I don't know how it ended, whether or not people... I assume that China has got their money. I assume they've got bigger things to worry about.
I think you'll find they abandoned that particular statue and he tried to hitchhike home and he couldn't get a lift.
You're really pleased with that, aren't you?
I'm more pleased by the sigh / eye roll you did. I've made it my mission to make you do as many of them as possible. And,
yeah, you want a compilation of me just sighing at things
you said.
Yeah, I
mean, that would be awful radio.
Awful?
Yeah. Just...
But very funny
so
for
bad,
you.
But I'd find it hilarious. And now we move on to a compilation of Abby sighing. no, we don't really. What we do move on to is
after the transition point, I think.
Yes. Okay, I don't know how to explain this. Other than the fact it's not news.
It's not news at all.
It's not news at all.
But it just does happened. Give a good insight into our friendship, I feel.
Yes. So this is something that came up, like, naturally within the episode, but didn't relate to anything.
No.
So, like, obviously it had to go. There was a good, like, 15 minutes of references.
Yeah.
Of just audio based entirely on this particular clip. That then came back in, like, future episodes. It's now a talking point in our friendship.
Yeah.
This, I think, is really... This has turned things for us. But obviously, like, it was never heard, and there was no reason for it to be heard, because it wasn't news. Basically, Abby is shaking her head so much.
I would just play the clip.
Here's the clip. On the topic of those bracelets, people aren't familiar with them. WWJD, what would Jesus do? I was on the phone to my mum this morning.
Yes.
She was planning an RE lesson on the topic of God being...
just God. Just the entire
just
entity.
God. It's just RE. It's just God. no, on in the Islamic faith, there's only one God. There's no tripartite. There's no Trinity. And she was like, I wanted like a hook for the students, a sort of comedy hook that they can get into. God, of course, is the one and only. And I'm sat on the phone, being like, don't say Chesney Hawks. Do not say Chesney Hawks. Don't say Chesney Hawks. Mum goes, is that Chesney Hawks guy?
I was like, no.
Amazing. And I proceeded to then run with this, which obviously isn't what she's teaching at all. But I was like, yeah, can you imagine if Chesney Hawks was the Messiah? That God who's like, right, I tried with Jesus. He needs to come back. Chesney Hawks.
This man.
A 1991 pop star is the embodiment of God. And I'm like, you know what? Actually, he could do a lot worse. He's a real gentleman.
And at least people know his name. So at least if he did come out and say, I am the Messiah, people would at least be like, that's an odd thing to say. And then would just carry on with their days. They would not believe him unless he did a miracle.
It explains why Chesney Hawks is such a weird name. Like, it's a great name, but it's very much like a superhero name.
Yeah, it's very much Clark Kent. You're like, you're definitely hiding a secret identity somehow. Maybe he's a spy. Hmm. Has anyone seen Chesney Hawks recently? What has he been doing?
Can you imagine if we've just blown Chesney Hawks' cover?
He's going to be so annoyed.
No, he wouldn't, because he's a really nice man. He'd be like, oh, I'm so... Like, it would have been really helpful if you hadn't blown my cover while I was, like, trying to protect the Iran nuclear deal, but you did, and
don't worry about it.
Because you got a bit of comedy out of it, yeah. And that's really what this is all about.
Did it make you happy? It did. Good. And then he just get on with his day.
That's why he is the one and only. I love him. I love him. I haven't thought about him in years. And I'm like, Chesney Hawks is a great guy. If you take one thing from this episode of Extra Extra, it's that Chesney Hawks... Forget about the news.
Okay,
Chesney Hawks is a great guy.
I hope that Chesney Hawks does something or does not do anything next week. Because if we have to retract this entire statement...
He hasn't been in the news since 1991. And then suddenly we've mentioned him because my mum was studying an RE lesson. It's like Beetlejuice.
You say it enough times and he'll appear. Hang on. He might be the time traveller, okay? So we just got to wait out.
He's just a few weeks out.
Like, damn it. I got the right studio. He'd be in the other studio. He'd have to come round.
I didn't want to walk outside in case there's people out there. Then I have to explain why I've just walked out.
You're looking for Chesney Hawks. Have you seen him?
Walk out of a live studio to a group of people. And they're like, oh, you're right. And I go, yep, looking for Chesney Hawks.
Fantastic.
Genuinely one of my favourite things that's ever happened on this show.
If you take anything from this episode of Extra Extra Colon Extra... Chesney Hawks.
Just
possible time traveller, possible messiah.
Would you like to explain the time traveller thing?
Okay, so several weeks ago, there was reports of a time traveller. He came and made some predictions on Australian radio. It was a big story. We did cover it in Extra Extra. There's been reports of other time travellers now in the news over the past several weeks, which I find very strange, but I have like an odd fascination with them. Because
you don't say.
They're just so interesting to me, like people making predictions and things. Because somebody might be right. I don't think that time travel is possible. But yeah, it's just interesting. And so then, of course, Chesney Hawks became a time traveller.
And later a ninja.
And later a ninja, indeed.
Yes.
When we discussed the ninja shortage in Japan.
You know, some people say... We don't really tackle the big stories.
I think we do.
Yeah.
I think we try.
We give it our best shot.
We fail very early on, but we try. We mentioned the Iran nuclear deal, which I think was a big story.
In the context of Chesney Hawks.
I said try.
But it genuinely saddens me slightly that no one outside of the two of us understand what a big thing Chesney Hawks is.
Yeah. Apart from Chesney
Yes, Chesney Hawks, I'm sure he's got a lot of self-confidence, but not too much. He just seems so nice.
He's lovely.
But I think he will never know, the listeners will never know, just how much he has changed the face of Extra Extra.
Indeed.
Thank you, Chesney.
He's really shaped it.
Yeah. As I say, that was a 3-minute clip. There's at least 15 minutes of audio.
Oh, yeah.
Just on Chesney Hawks.
If you want all of the Chesney Hawks Extra Extra information.
Tough.
That's
staying between me and Abby. Also, though, in that clip, I love the phrase, forget about the news.
On our comedy news show.
I feel like that says more than any of us could possibly say. And that will be epitomised in this next clip. This actually came from Wednesday's episode, this Wednesday, episode 15, in which we discussed the World Cup.
We did.
Which we knew a lot about.
We knew more about than we thought we did.
Yes, that doesn't say a great deal. We discussed the World Cup. We started with the upskirting scandal and Chris Chope's branding.
Yep.
Do you know, his name is Christopher. He's married to someone called Christine and he is the MP for Christchurch. That is a man who has thought through his personal brand.
He has.
But we discussed that. We discussed the World Cup. We did a nice Brexit roundup.
Yep.
And we did Macedonia's changing its name.
Yes.
Which I will say, in the show, I refer to as a rebrand.
Yes.
Make of that what you will. But then this had also happened. And Abby wanted to discuss this because it featured our favourite man, Elon Musk.
Our favourite... Well,
I feel like I could phrase that better.
You'll discover our thoughts on Elon Musk, I think. Especially Rebecca's, hopefully, in this clip.
Yes. Well, I will say, if you're not familiar with Elon Musk in the context of Extra Extra, forget everything you know about Elon Musk.
Yeah. All information.
All information. Forget it. Other than the fact that his dad's name is Errol. I quite like that. Elon Musk came up in episode 2.
Yes. Well, we're discussing SpaceX.
Yes.
And
also,
the rocket launch.
Also, Lana Del Rey almost being kidnapped and being saved by a YA hero called Blake Dark. Again, very much giving you the feel of Extra Extra. But Elon Musk came up and we were talking about, like, you know, branding and marketing,
yeah,
and just, like, business things. And I suggested... Abby has just rolled her eyes so dramatically.
I've just heard about this a lot.
So I suggested, go with me on this, a pesto brand.
Yes.
Called Hey Pesto. And the branding would be black and white with a bit of red to add like a spark. And there'd be a magician on it. And the TV advert would be like a family and it's kind of like dull colours. Mm. And they've got a really boring tea. And then there's like a puff of smoke and a magician arrives. And he improves the meal by adding pesto. And he says, hey pesto. That's like the magic thing. And then it's all like bright colours, like a hay fever advert.
Okay.
Where suddenly it's like really saturated. Anyway, I think this is a genius idea and I want Elon Musk to invest in this.
Yeah.
I've also considered Richard Branson, but he hasn't got back to me on it yet.
Not yet.
So I'm going with Elon Musk.
Elon, you can get in there.
I feel like that's the context
the
you
bidding
need
war.
To understand this particular news story.
Yeah.
Because although pesto doesn't come into the news story...
It doesn't come into the news very often. And yet.
It's relevant, and you'll see why when we discuss the fact that Tesla ended up firing a load of people. Right, Tesla. What's the Tesla story?
They're slashing thousands of jobs in profitability drive, which I'm not going to be able to pronounce, so good luck.
Okay, I'm thinking we're going to have an Elon Musk section of Extra, Extra, Extra.
Yeah.
And I think this I've said before on here that I'm scared of him.
Yeah.
Are you scared of Elon Musk?
I'm scared.
I don't trust him at all.
I don't trust him.
He's a suspicious man.
He looks very much like he'd like Scientology, and I...
Yeah, he's planning some weird stuff.
But he's also going to back Ella in Hey Pesto.
I was going to say, I don't care about his religious views, I just need to invest in a pesto brand.
Well, if
he's
you
got
want
the money.
All
in pesto!
Profit.
That's the follow-up.
We're gonna Which have is an, not upskirt.
We're going to have an entire condiments range.
All based around the word pesto.
Yes.
There's one condiment. That's not like rain.
Many ways. I'm not going to lie. I'm so pleased that you haven't picked up on whether pesto is a condiment or not. I'm not sure I've ever eaten pesto. I don't know if it is a condiment.
You've never eaten pesto?
What? I don't know.
You probably
How
have.
How can you not be sure?
I think I might have had it in a chicken sandwich, like one of those fancy ones from Cafe Nero.
Yeah, that's a bit. And there might be on a pizza at some point they put pesto on them.
Yes. You had a pesto pizza the other day and I did that pesto pizza. Keep going.
Which piece of pesto? Oh, I tried to do it.
See, it's not as easy.
Which
as it
piece
looks,
of pesto pizza? Who did? I don't know. You know the Peter Piper.
Yeah,
picked a piece
but my
of...
name isn't Peter Piper.
I realised
it is now. Oh, but did Peter Piper pick a piece of pesto pizza? No, it's a pesto. You bitch.
Can that be the end?
Sorry.
But if Peter Piper picked a piece of pesto... Ah!
Pesto! Pesto!
Yes, I know, Abby. I'm the pesto guru.
I'm just trying to get it into your brain so you don't go pesto.
Pesto, pesto, pesto. Did Peter Piper pick a piece of pesto pizza?
Hey!
In which piece of pesto... That's so difficult.
Right. I'm going to get Abby to do it in a minute. And
no.
Then I'll look fantastic. No offence, Abby.
No, I'm none taken.
But if Peter Piper picked a piece of pesto pizza, which piece of pesto pizza has Peter Piper picked?
Hey. Good Lord.
Thank you. That is my crowning achievement of Extra Extra. That's going on the CV, can right? How long as I can touch my own toes.
We have that in Extra
Not
Extra.
Not someone else's toes.
Right, so why has Elon Musk been in the news?
He's slashing loads of jobs.
Okay.
To make money.
Suddenly, I feel like maybe we shouldn't have been making light of the pesto thing.
He's firing people.
To is get that more your
money into space.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Jettison them all off the planet.
Sorry, we need some people to experiment SpaceX on. You've lost your jobs, but we're throwing you into space. Ew. How about that? Yeah.
If Peter Piper really needed happy. People on another planet, what planet would Peter Piper put those people on?
I think we should stop Peter Piper. He's clearly doing a lot of things. Maybe you should focus on one.
Right, Elon Musk.
Yes. Do you want me to just launch in?
Yeah, much like a rocket that Elon Musk is sending into space.
Launching his workers into space.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, yes. Elon Musk's company, Tesla, is cutting thousands of jobs in order to boost their profitability, which is a difficult word for me to say.
What, boost?
Yes. So the company is planning to cut 9% of the workforce while it's restructuring, which is intended to reduce costs and basically make the company money. They've announced that it would only affect salaried employees, so those not those in the production of the cars, which is something people are worried about. And his announcement on this, his like emails to the company, was a very strange to me. One of the sentences was, given that Tesla has never made an annual profit in almost 15 years since we have existed, profit is obviously not what motivates us. Now, this is a man who prides himself on his business acumen.
Yeah.
I would say if you're in a company that's never made a profit, like, I'm not good at business, I don't know much about it, mm-hmm. but I think generally isn't that kind of the point? Yeah. Like, that's something you're supposed to be
also
doing?
Him priding, saying he prides himself on it. And then be like, but however, you know what it's time for? Time to make a bit of money.
Of course he doesn't. He's sat on like billions.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the
that
money.
Impression again. I mean, Rebecca's
solid.
There's
always
fire
like
with
Boston
these.
There, wasn't
that
it?
South
time to make a bit of money. That's what it ended up as. I'm just going to move on.
I think that's for the best.
He's emphasised Tesla's commitment to renewable energy and all that kind of stuff that they've been known for. Once again, I think it's quite easy to not be motivated by money when you have money. The company is under a lot of pressure from its investors to make it profitable. It has yet to reach Musk's goal of producing 5,000 cars a week, which was originally promised from the end of 2017. Now says maybe June. We'll try June. If not, maybe October. Like, apparently timeline is not fixed at all. This is on the Model 3 car that Tesla have produced. It's meant to be like their most affordable model. It's a
go on, let's hear how affordable it is. Go on.
$35,000. The performance version, which is meant to be roughly the same as like a BMW M Series, $78,000, which is roughly £60,000. Which kind of serves the hype. Because everyone's going to be like, this car's great. And then you get your model and you're like, why is this not as good?
Yeah.
They've also not shipped any of the $35,000 models that they've actually got made. They're only shipping the $44,000 models because basically because they're making the money at the moment. But it seems an odd business model to me. I don't know much about car sales, but if you're promising an affordable version of like this amazing renewable energy based car, I don't understand why you wouldn't just ship out some of them so people can actually like use them.
Almost the issue is that it's a businessman leading something that's meant to be progressive. Everyone's like, oh, Elon Musk, why is he doing all these all these horrible things. Why is he being so profit-driven? It's like, it's a business. What, you know, what do you expect?
He's a very strange man.
The money from Hey Pesto might have gone to his head.
Yeah.
I can only apologise.
You should have.
It's your fault.
You should have taken the business into your own hands. Mm.
He had quite a dramatic pronouncement that shipping the minimum cost Model 3 right away would cause Tesla to lose money and die. Which is...
Wait, did he actually say that?
He's actually said that. That is a direct quote.
Wow.
Which is...
I imagine it probably wasn't said in exactly the same way.
I think his emphasis might have been slightly different, but I'm imagining him in a big cloak. I'm imagining, like, dramatic lighting suddenly. Like the lights have dimmed suddenly and he's in, like, a single spotlight. Uh-huh. I'm thinking
very
high drama.
Like a Hey Pesto brand magician.
Yeah. Because he modelled himself. He was very keen to be involved in that.
He was. Decision. My God, we had to... Like, he would have just taken photos all day.
But we had to get going. So, yeah. That's all I've got. Just how strange the story is. Do you have anything else to say about Tesla? Axing all of its employees. One thing to be said, though, is that the employees...
Do you have anything to say? I'm going to answer that question myself with the one thing that has to be said.
So the employees who have been let off already actually don't seem to be that angry at Tesla for this kind of abrupt ending of their contracts, which...
Because they've all gone home with a complimentary pesto pot.
Yes. And a free ticket on any Mars mission...
I think they're all priding the pesto more.
Yeah,
obviously.
That's more sort of short term. Long term, they can go up. They get to beat the queues and stuff, and they get to go to Mars. So great, good. But yeah, this is just a kind of something. It's another Elon Musk story, as we talked about him earlier. So we'll bring him back in, but unfortunately not for very good news.
Mm.
Not as exciting as SpaceX rockets.
Elon Musk over.
Yeah.
It's over and done with.
Goodbye, Elon. Sleep well.
He's not dead.
Yet.
Tesla might be.
At time of recording. I mean, at time of broadcast, I hope he's not dead either.
Stop trying to get that in.
Unlike these two, have nothing against Elon Musk. Mainly because I don't know anything about him. Yeah. I don't want him to invest in a pesto brand. I mean, as far as we know... Now he's still not dead.
Elon's fine. I don't know why we took it there.
Have you met us, Abby? Have you met us?
I've got just a couple of things from that.
Okay.
I'm a pesto guru, Ella Rodinska, 2018. Mark it down. Mark down the date.
I forgot that I said that. Why did I say that?
I don't know. But also,
I don't know what pesto is.
Because you said, I'm going to put that on the CV, and I touching my toes. And I went, rather than touching someone else's toes, and no one responded. We just moved on.
I was so excited about pesto.
And then Ella went quiet again, because another Ella Google session. Because I talk for quite a bit of that. Now, I know that I talk a lot because I'm trying to get
across
news and things.
You're the only one who knows anything.
But
when you asked the question, does anyone have anything to say? And then without even pausing for breath, answered it yourself.
Yep. Just remembered I had a thing to add. Because both of them are kind of zoned out. And I was like, well, I'm just going to keep going. Till someone tells me to stop talking, we're going to keep going.
I've spent worrying amounts of time talking about pesto on this show.
More time than I thought you would. Considering I didn't know about Hey Pesto before Extra Extra.
That's because I'm keeping my ideas close.
Well, clearly not that close.
Broadcasting them on Shooter Radio.
Yep. But I feel like I know a lot about it now.
Yeah. I'm not convinced I've ever eaten pesto. I feel like I must have. Because I feel like I like it.
you got good thoughts about it.
Yeah.
It's got a good vibe.
Anyway...
Yes.
On that note, we're coming to the end of Extra Extra : Extra. I will say it should be called Extra Extra - Extra. That fits the branding of all. Whenever episodes have been uploaded, it's Extra ! Extra ! - episode number.
Well, it's surely then it's Extra Extra : - 1. There can be more.
No, I don't like that. That's too much punctuation in one podcast title. But I think colon has more of a ring to it than dash. Yeah. It's not extra, extra, dash, extra. That's too difficult to say. Go on, Abby.
Extra, extra, dash, extra.
Oh, you did it better than me.
It's still...
Piper picked a piece of pesto pizza.
Pezzo, damn it.
I'm so sorry for calling Rebecca a bitch.
You were very enthusiastic about this.
I got so into it.
Tongue twister.
But yeah, so we are coming to the end of Extra, Extra, Colon, Extra. And that does mark the end of this year entirely. So I have put together some snippets, the best of Ella and best of Abby, respectively.
Been here for a while.
Yes. I think because of the pesto element, we'll go with the best of Ella first. these are my best bits. No, that sounds...
Do you want me to introduce it?
That sounds so...
They're here now.
No, I'm still laughing at you. Okay. I just said calm down as if it was your fault.
As if I'm the one laughing.
Yes, I'm.
So now here's the best of Ella.
Thank you. Hello, you're listening to Extra Extra, URN's comedy news show, in which we take a slightly more unorthodox look at the news of the week. I'm going to cough.
I'm going to cough is a really, like, quite an esoteric name.
I'm Gecko Hugh Grant. oh, God damn it. So why... I've never understood James Bond, but he just seems to fail on all bit. I know it's not a documentary.
I need you to know that Daniel Craig isn't actually James Bond. It's very important to me that you know this.
Why? My head fell into my hands.
Yeah.
Still attached to my body, but... Okay, so just for the record, I'm going to write an autobiography, and ooh, being a lover of ketchup, I'm going to call it In Hindsight. And I said that on radio yesterday. I ended my show on that, and someone said, they went, "Hi, Ella." That's a terrible pun. I'm in a hole, so, and I don't know how to get out. Would like to say we don't actually think Finland are responsible for anything. I quite like Finland. Please let us move in there when we need someone happy to go. Hey, the listeners need to know I'm eating a Tesco own brand double chocolate mini roll.
Oh.
Sponsor, please.
Other mini rolls are available.
Yeah, they're not as good.
I am now wondering if Richard Branson would be on board with Hey Pesto.
Ooh.
Hey Pesto is my copyrighted pesto brand. I'll hold my hands up and say I didn't listen to all of it.
Good. I'm glad that they...
But from the bits that I heard... Sounds a lot like Hitler and the Volkswagen Beetles.
Let's not say that.
I am single. Guys.
Sorry, I thought it'd be funny, and admittedly it was.
I find it quite funny how funny you found it.
I just spat on my own face.
Oh, lovely. Fellas. Come on. You gotta admit there's something about it.
Dutch that man be. And whether the weather be wet or whether the weather be not wet, dry. You know what? Let's just end the show. I want to do that ending again.
Knew you.
Of course I do. I'm a perfectionist, but I'm a perfectionist who's dead inside and knows a weird amount about people who play Nazis in films.
That's your SRA entry.
Right there.
Knowing you, I'm not surprised.
Uh-huh. I'm so sorry, Abby.
It's all wanted. Your need to get references in to all of your conversations has become worrying. I think you might need help.
Do you know what it would be? Something special. Think of the most dramatic thing and then add an exclamation mark to it, and that's how dramatic this is. How to phrase this?
Badly?
I'm just sort of like using this as my demo. My audition for future life careers. Future life careers?
Oh dear.
Suddenly the audition has gone off the rails. Can I get a little more? Oh yeah, it really works because it's like extra, extra. It's like extra because it's more.
I just did the concept.
Oh, I didn't. Thank you and good night.
I don't have any other reaction than laughter.
I honestly feel I've done radio at URN for 3 full years, and that is the best representation of me as a presenter and just a person.
Yeah. Because you edit out those bits. You were saying most of those are bloopers.
But those are my favourite bits. And the fact that I could situate them all to Eric Hutchinson a little more, which is the theme song for Extra Extra.
Yeah.
I love it. I shouldn't say that because it's my own work, but I fucking love that, Abby.
It was a thing to behold.
Thank you.
Really was.
Are you ready for your best bits, Abby?
Yes.
Well, I will say...
No, I'm not.
What I will say, I've picked a very specific song for you, Abby.
Okay.
As the backing music for yours. And I feel like... I know that you like this song and I know that you like the singer, but I just want to say that it reflects more on your reaction to me rather than you as a member of Extra Extra.
Okay.
These are your best bits.
Literally everyone has abandoned me, apart from one person. It's Abby Houseman.
Hi.
This is my debut podcast, and I apparently have scared everyone away.
In the sense of either doing something or dying, it's a bit like the kids show Raven, where you would disappear if you didn't get the challenge.
It's not entirely like the kids show Raven.
Not entirely.
We've got this idea that British cows can predict the weather.
Do we?
They lie down if it's going to rain.
Okay.
Have you not heard this?
No. You sound mental. But also, if this is like 1985, your plans might be in your pocket, so maybe your old clothes are the way that we can find out your plots. Both of you look at me like I'm crazy.
It sounds very much like a parrot is trying to teach a whale how to speak.
Wait, so your criticism of that recording is not with the whale, but with the humans?
Yep.
They don't sound enough like humans to be humans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, that wasn't the way I thought this was going to go.
It's a bit like calling spirits, and it was a bit like...
But also, can you imagine what would have happened if someone had, like, even opened the door?
Well, chaos really... would have descended.
That would have been so funny, though.
Oh, look, can I borrow you? Oh, my God, he's here!
But the blue, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a good colour for me. Just think it would really match my eyes.
I have brown eyes, Abby.
I don't. I'll be a ninja for the aesthetic.
Don't you?
No. They're like a bluey green. You sound like you don't believe me. Have you never gazed into my eyes lovingly? How dare you? I sit across the desk from you every Monday.
Yeah, now that you said it, I'm like, yeah, you do have bluey green eyes. But you sound like the kind of person who would have like hazel eyes.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I think they'd be too light with my complexion.
Do your eyes have anything to do with your complexion?
Well, not any more than they have to do with the sound of my voice.
Touché, mon ami.
You can make a summit joke. I don't have it.
I'm broken, Abby.
Abby, very much the brains of the show.
I'm trying.
You're doing a great job.
It might be something to do with that time travel we've heard about. Maybe this is all just a plot. They
that's
are actually
time travel
that
we've
they've
heard
time
about.
Travelled in
what?
Can nothing? Nobody touch anything. Everyone stop! Everyone stop what you're doing and just pause for a bit. We all chill out for a couple of months and then September start up again. It's fine. I will allow it.
Thank you, Abby.
I'm Darren Brown.
Extra extra formal apology. I want to apologise.
This came from you. You are the researcher, Abby.
Abigail Houseman. Personal apologies. Sven. The Netherlands, also Denmark. I'm really sorry about this.
He's Dutch.
Pretend that you don't know.
Ooh. What was that?
I don't know.
I think we need to leave.
It was the ninja. He takes off his mask. It's Chesney Hawks.
He's been here the entire time. This studio is blue. It's entirely blue. He could be here.
Are you saying that this... Oh, okay. You're saying that he's camouflaged rather than this entire studio is a ninja. I'm with you, Abby. I am with you.
Mainly because the second one wouldn't work. We're like Jonah and the whale.
It's like Russian ninjas. A ninja within a ninja. Abby! Exclamation mark.
Abby.
The last... Not on this show, mate.
And also because Twitter and the other 280 characters at best... Trying to get a point across a nuanced and balanced argument is not the easiest thing to do. Would you like to make your Shania Twain joke?
Mogman.
Mogman!
I hate this segment.
More on this story as it develops. Back to you in the studio. Sorry, I've always wanted to say that.
Mogman!
Mogman will be my lasting legacy, I feel.
I mean, I could have dedicated an episode to Mogman alone.
It was a lot. Please listen back to the early...
That was our first ever episode.
Our first ever episode, I know that we talked about the cows, we talked about the whale speaking, and we talked about Mogman. It was a ride.
It very much set the level of Extra Extra. That was the show that... Because we were meant to be talking about Jacob Rees-Mogg. He'd got into a sort of...
Scuffle.
At a university he'd been at. Then some biologists had taught a whale to speak. Then the Spice Girls reuniting. Yes. And so they were the topics of discussion.
That's what I was supposed to be talking about.
And instead we turned Jacob Rees-Mogg into a superhero called Mogman. There's numerous clips of me singing the Batman theme tune, but with Mogman instead. With the whale... that covered about 30 seconds, and then we talked about the fact that British cows predict that rain is coming, whereas Danish cows face the wind, yes. Which Abby didn't know the British thing.
No, I didn't.
I had to get Jeremy to come in and confirm it.
Head of sport had to come in and go, yeah, it's a thing. I felt very foolish.
And then we moved a lot in different accents.
We did.
It was great fun. And then we talked about the Spice Girls, and I went on about Bryan Adams wearing eyeliner.
Yeah.
So it was that episode that... We always knew that the opening of Extractor was going to be, you know, taking a slightly more unorthodox look at the news of the week. But it was episode one that birthed the quote, this is the news like you've never heard it before, believe me, which is what goes on each of our podcast descriptions.
Yes.
And I feel we've lived up to it.
We have. We've gone very much with the brief.
Yes.
Very much emphasis on the comedy. A little bit of the news. Yeah.
It's been fun.
It has. I've had a lot of fun with it. I feel like I've transitioned into being the sensible one. I'm not quite sure how that happened. Yet still,
have you let me?
Yet still struggle with pronunciation. Still don't always know how to end stories. So I just go, and that's all I've got.
Yeah. So that now actually is it.
That is.
From Extra Extra for this year. I'll be back in September with Rebecca. Abby, unfortunately, won't be.
No.
Have you had fun, Abby?
I've had a lot of fun.
So we will be back in September. All that leaves me to do now is thank Abby for joining me here in the studio.
You're very welcome.
For this year. It's been brilliant fun. But most importantly, thank you for listening at home every week. It really does mean so, so much to us. And hopefully tonight has given you a bit of an insight into the world of Extra Extra.
Behind the scenes look.
Yes. Obviously, there were bits that, you know, there are our favourite moments from the year that I haven't put in tonight's show, but you can go and listen to the full episode.
You can.
You can find them all on Audio Boom. I liked Extra Extra colon Extra. It's been good fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep calling it that. Yeah. It's going to look weird written down because I want to say the word colon.
Okay.
For now, I've been Ella Vidrinska. This has been Extra Extra colon Extra. We will see you in September. Goodbye. Coming 2019 to a cinema near you. Mogman!
Mogman! That sounded quite good.
Yeah.